Welcome to Geek Vibes Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Geek Vibes Live interview. Today we have a very, very, very special guest from a planet far, far away. He is the lead of Sci-Fi's new hit series, Krypton, Mr. Cameron Cuff. Cameron, how are you feeling?
I'm well, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Last night was the first episode of Krypton. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect from this first season?
Well, the first season, it's an epic space adventure. What you guys saw in the pilot is just the very, very beginning. There is so much more to come. There are a lot of wonderful storylines to have. Obviously, Brainiac is on the way, so we're going to have to combat that as well as forces within Kandor. So there's lots of fun to expect.
Yeah, I love that first episode. What I feel as though this season is capturing, and I could be wrong, but this is just what I took from the first episode last night. I kind of classified it as the two L's. It looks like the season will be kind of just embodying the idea of love and legacy. The legacy that you are going to start to build for not only your son, but your grandson, and the love that, you know, you unfortunately, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but it did release last night on Sci-Fi, you lost your mom and your dad. And it seems like you may have even lost your girlfriend. So, you're definitely going through a lot in this first episode.
Absolutely. I mean, at the moment where Adam Strange hands him Superman's cape, that's the lowest point in Zed's life. He's completely and utterly lost. So he's going to have to rebuild himself from the ground up. And it's important to say he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't really know what he believes. He doesn't feel like he can live up to the legacy of House L that has come before, and he certainly doesn't feel capable of saving the greatest hero the universe has ever seen in the future. But the thing is, he's going to have to bridge those two realities. He's going to have to rise and become worthy of that symbol, and that's the arc of not just season one. It's the whole show. It's very much, from Seg's perspective, it's very much the hero's journey.
Absolutely. And I can only imagine just like how terrifying that is. First of all, he had like possibly the worst course of a few days that anyone has ever had. It's the idea of, you know, someone telling you, hey, it's up to you to save everyone. You know, you going from someone who's just trying to get by, trying to help out his mom and dad, trying to kind of still trying to figure out who he wants to be. And now you have the weight of the world, pretty much all of Krypton on your shoulders. The weight of the universe. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's kind of really fun to see how it looks like he's going to be embracing that, as the season goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is, like, this story in many ways sort of harkens back to things like Indiana Jones and The Last Starfighter, like movies like that, where the hero is like a good person and a capable person, but they're thrown completely over their head, and yet somehow it's up to them to save the day. And I find that really compelling. He's not a soldier. He's not a warrior. He's not a superhero. He's just a con man. You know, he doesn't think that he's the guy, but he's going to have to do it anyway. And that's a really compelling story.
Absolutely. And for a lot of people outside of the comic book world, your character Segel is someone not very known to the mainstream world. How do you feel the show will change that to where when we speak of the idea of, you know, Kryptonians, we're not just focusing in on Superman. We're realizing it's a bigger and larger world out there. It has so many great stories about so many great characters.
Yes. Well, David Goyer, our fantastic creator, devised this show as a gateway into the cosmic universe. You know, the DC has such a fantastic legacy of amazing characters who exist outside of Earth, whether that be the Green Lantern Corps and Oa, whether that be the Omega Men or Ran and Thanagar, the Citadel. You know, there are so many great, amazing stories to pull from there. For us, it's such a good, it's a great thing that we're in uncharted territory. You know, pun completely intended, our story takes place a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And that gives us a lot of freedom to tell the story that we want to tell. As you said, no one's played these characters before. We get to define who these characters are. And while we're paying tribute to the things that have come before, I don't know if you saw in the pilot, but we had the John Williams theme in there. We are paying tribute to Richard Donner as well as Zack Snyder's Man of Steel. So we're really celebrating the legacy of these characters, but we're also telling our own story, and we want to, you know, forge our own path as well.
What I love so much about the idea of this, the show Krypton, is like you just said, you know, these characters and this story hasn't been told before. So you're free to kind of create your own world and to kind of expand out and do new and fun and creative things. Completely looks like it's doing. That first episode was just like, man, I need another one like right now. One of the biggest things that really shocked me of this first episode was how well you guys captured Brainiac. So my question for you is, what can we expect from him in this coming season? And I know they mentioned, well, Adam Strange mentioned, let me be more specific, that he does conquer planets. But will we actually see him, like, physically conquer a planet in this upcoming season?
Well, Brainiac, as you know, is a 12th level intellect. He likes to act with subtlety and act through various agents and probes and sentries and things like that. So his target is Krypton. He is coming for us. That is the great threat of the season. I'm not gonna tell you just where it goes, but he's a coming.
I cannot wait. Just the scene when we first see him, just the face, and then when he opens his eyes. I just kept saying to myself, this is ripped out of comics. This is beautiful. Like, this is what I've always wanted Brainiac to translate to on the whether it's the big screen or the small screen. Like, this is perfect. I do want to know, because it's definitely something I don't think your character will necessarily embody, because he's becoming this somewhat savior in this first season. But I do have to ask for, you know, the listeners out there, I'm pretty sure they're curious about this. Will we see your character suit up at any point in time? I mean, a guy has to protect himself.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. There are so many wonderful costumes on this show. There are points where I do change costume. I'm betrothed to Nyssa Vex in season one. Who's to say I do end up with House L? There is so much intrigue going on, but Seg has to earn that symbol before we can wear it.
Oh man, I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait for that. Oh man, I'm getting goosebumps just listening to that.
Yeah.
This is something, as I was watching the first episode, I was really curious about. How proud do you think Seg-El would be of Kal-El, Superman, his grandson, like to fully find out what he grew up to be? Like, Adam Strange has only told you a little bit about how great and how much of a symbol Kal-El was, but how proud do you really think Seg-El would be of his grandson?
I think he'd be thrilled to know that the legacy of House El has continued. I think he'd be thrilled to know that all of those ideals that he grew up with were not only brought forth with him through you know, Jor-El's messages, but also through Ma and Pa Kent, and that there are good people on this planet, on the planet Earth, who help foster his desire for justice and truth. The thing is, in the show where Seg is right now, he doesn't believe it. You know, if someone came up to you and said, in 200 years, your granddaughter or grandson is going to be the greatest hero the world has ever known, and I need your help. it sounds crazy. He doesn't want to believe it. And also, just a little tease for you guys, indelibly with the legacy of Superman comes the destruction of Krypton. So what does that mean? You know, one of the central conflicts of this story is, does Krypton have to die for Superman to live?
wow, that is deep. And honestly, it's so crazy because it's like when you watch it, you're like, man, I love what Krypton's building, and I'd love to see, like, the aspects of a Superman, you know, like, team up with his grandfather or something along those lines to help fight off Brainiac. But it's just like, ultimately, at the end of the day, Krypton has to be destroyed for Superman to, you know, to become who he is. He gets sent off to Earth, you know, and that's where he grows to become the Superman that we know and love. It's just like, man, I love what you guys are setting up with Krypton. So
thanks,
I mean,
man.
You kind of talked about this a little bit, and again, I'm not asking for any specifics because I know you wouldn't be able to tell me anyway. So I'll just kind of generalize.
Yeah.
Is there any chance we see any other known heroes in the DC world in this first season that you know of?
That I know of? Okay, I'll tease you with something. I can't reveal what's going to go down. But I guarantee you'll see at least one known figure from the current DC universe in our show. We do want to expand it out. We have plans to introduce Ran and Thanagar in coming seasons and things like that. But for this season, we've got Brainiac, Adam Strange, and maybe someone else.
That is all I needed to hear. I always stress, when I talk to the guests, I'm not one of those guys that's going to pester you to try to get scoops and stuff. I know you guys can and cannot tell me. But whenever you give me a roundabout answer like that, that's all I need. That's all I need.
Okay.
You know, speaking of this, you know, we're obviously, we call ourselves Vibes Nation, so we're very geek-centric. So I'd have to ask you, who was your favorite superhero growing up?
My favorite superhero growing up was genuinely Superman. Like, I've been reading the comics for as long as I could read, and I loved him so much. And I think that, you know, I grew up with the animated series, you know, the Bruce Timm, Andrea Romano series. I adored those. And so I got acquainted with Superman very young, but I think the character who really brought me into comics was Connor Kent, you know, Superboy. Because I loved how conflicted he was. It was Geoff Johns' Teen Titans arc that really got me into comic books, because you see these kids and they're met with the conflict of having to, you know, eventually grow into the Justice League, which is a hell of a lot of pressure to put on teenagers. And they have these relationships with each other, and, you know, you have the Titans who came before, like Cyborg and Nightwing, and they're trying to foster these kids too with a different, like, that was the thing that made me realize that comic books are mythology, and that comic books are completely based on the emotional relationships of the characters around them. And I really, really love that.
I mean, what I love about today is it's now cool to be a quote unquote geek or a nerd or a comic book fan. I mean, I'm pretty sure you remember when you were younger, it wasn't that easy to just, like, at the lunch table, just, like, pull out a comic book and be like, did anyone read this latest issue, or did anyone see the animated series last week? Like, it wasn't common for people to think that was, you know, the norm or something cool. So it's really good to see how far we've come, and how now even, like, the biggest of jocks are like, I love Superman. I love Batman. You know, it's just so fun to see how far we've come from those days.
It's really great. Yeah, and the thing is, I remember my first ever girlfriend in high school, I waited 6 months until I said I read comic books, because I was worried she'd dump them. You know, and that, I remember a time when I hid comic books under my bed. I remember when it wasn't cool. But the thing is, I met Kevin Feige at Comic-Con last year. And, you know, he said, you know, obviously Marvel and DC are competing, everything like that. But he said, if one of us succeed, all of us succeed. And I just wanted to – I went up to him and I told him, thank you so much for helping make nerd culture pop culture, because that is where we are right now, and that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what he said is so important, because that's something I try to get across to our fan base, is that it's not necessarily a competing thing. Like, if you think about it, think about if football were to ever go extinct to where, like, no one wanted to watch football, that does sort of hurt the other sports, because then you have an issue of, all right, well, if they don't watch football, how do we know they're going to watch basketball? So it's one of those things to where it's like we need Marvel to succeed for DC to succeed and vice versa. So it's one of those things to where it's like it's not a versus. We need each other. We're all a geek community. It doesn't have to be a versus thing. Because honestly, at the end of the day, what I always joke about is we go back and forth as fans. Like, oh, DC is better, Marvel is better. At the end of the day, Chris Evans and Henry Cavill love each other. They talk all the time.
Yeah.
Kevin Feige and Jeff Johns, I'm pretty sure, you know, talk often. So it's like, all right, well, these are the guys behind the studios, and they love each other. So why are we arguing about who's better when the guys behind it love each other? Why can't we all just embrace both so one day we can have a DC and Marvel team-up in the movie theaters?
Wouldn't that be amazing? You know,
it's all about
mutual respect, and those guys have done an amazing job. And the cool thing, too, is that for us, you know, we're trying to do something that's different. I don't know if you could tell, but Krypton is a different kind of superhero show. And we need all of those things to have come before. We need to have had more traditional superhero stories like Arrow and Daredevil and Flash and Supergirl for us to be able to take some narrative risks with Krypton. So if we didn't have those movies and TV shows, then we wouldn't be here now.
Absolutely. And to me, I completely agree with you about the importance of that. But to me, what makes Krypton so special, again, is the aspects of love and legacy and how somewhat grounded it is to where it's like it's not one of those comic book shows that's just like so unbelievably out there that it's like you can't really hone in on like, oh, I can kind of equate that to my real life. You know, Krypton kind of gives you that feel. Like, we all are born with a sense of legacy. Like, we had grandparents and fathers and mothers that I'm pretty sure left us with a legacy, albeit not that huge, but, you know, a legacy, you know, nonetheless. And we live a life of love, or we should. So, to me, that's why I said Krypton was just so – I loved it because of those two aspects of love and legacy.
Yeah, no, it's very apt of you to say that. And I think that's the thing is that great science fiction and comic books, it's not about, you know, the capes and it's not about aliens or robots. It's always about us. It's always about how we treat each other and the way that we choose to live. You know, ultimately, you know, Star Wars, for example, ultimately that's a story about a guy trying to figure out who his dad is. And that's something a lot of us can associate with. And also, you know, Krypton, it, you know, in this first season, is a guy, it's Seg trying to figure out who he is. And that is also tied in with the path of becoming a hero. It's a journey of self-understanding as well as a journey to save the universe. And the saving the universe bit, that is fantastic and wondrous and might be a bit out there. But everyone understands the struggle of trying to figure out who they are and what they want to stand for.
Absolutely. And to live up to, you know, to your family's not only expectations but their name. Like every family wants their name to mean something, and they want their kids to live a better life than they did. And I could definitely say from, you know, the look of the first episode, that was something Segel's parents wanted, and I'm pretty sure, you know, way down the line, that's something Segel will want for his kids, and then so on and so forth. So I definitely completely agree with you on that aspect. And like I said, that's what makes it so human and so, you know, something that you can kind of just like rest on to where you're like, man, I can kind of equate this to real life. Like, you know, I'm trying to figure out who I am and what I want to be. And, you know, it's going down that journey. That's always really fun. But I do want to ask you, because it's someone that I just really enjoy their work and I'm sure you had a blast working with. How is it working with David Goyer?
Goyer is wonderful. David, he created our whole show. And the thing is, he's a legend both in film and in comic books. And there are so few people who have accomplished the level of success that he has accomplished. And the thing is, when I was screen testing and when I was sort of in the process of getting the role, I didn't tell anyone that I was a geek. I completely wanted to get it on my merits as an actor. But I remember the first time, you know, we actually spent significant time together after I got the role. We were shooting the pilot. We were in a production office, and there were all these awesome like production stills and concept pieces of concept art and stuff like that. And I was pointing. I was like, God, yeah, is that Brainiac? Is that a Black Mercy? Like, what are these things? Is that Doomsday? What's going on? And you know, so he saw that I knew what a Black Mercy was, you know, I name dropped Alan Moore in that story. And he's like, you're a real fan, aren't you? I was like, yeah, man. Like, for as long as I can remember, you know, when I was a kid, I was tying red towels around my neck and jumping off the sofa and pretending to save the day. And he just said, you know, when I was a kid, I just said to my mom, all I want to do is make a Batman movie. And he made the best Batman movie there has ever been. You know, arguably still to this day, the best comic book movie there's ever been. So to be working with someone like that who cares so deeply about these characters and knows so much about them, but also a brilliant filmmaker, it is an absolute gift.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I love David Goyer's work. He definitely has his thumb on the pulse of what fans want because he's a fan himself. So you know you're getting the
absolutely
best version of something when David Goyer puts his name on it. I just have two more
absolutely
questions for you before you go.
Of course.
Of them is, if you could be any character in the DCEU, the movie universe, what character would you like to portray?
What character would I like to portray? God, that is such a tough question. There are so many, and I feel greedy asking for more than one. I think I would love to be Jason Todd. You know, what an incredible character. You know,
what a
Shakespearean story. Like this guy from the streets of Gotham who's, you know, jacking tires off the Batmobile, grows up to become Robin, is a great Robin, but has his own direction and is angry and has this deep-seated anger in him, is killed by Batman's greatest enemy, is resurrected through the Lazarus Pit, because I'm not sure we could put it in the DCEU that Superboy Prime punched reality and came back to life. That's quite far-fetched. it comes back through the Lazarus Pit and sees three things. You know, number one, that the Joker isn't dead. Batman didn't care about me enough to avenge me. Number two, Barbara Gordon's been crippled. You know, and I imagine that, you know, Barbara was probably the only person to treat him like a human being. You know, in the way that, you know, a lot of us have a crush on our older brother's girlfriend. You know, she was in many ways the first woman he ever loved. So Barbara Gordon's been crippled, that amazing person who supported him. And then third, and the nail in the coffin for Batman, is there's a new Robin. And this kid is amazing. You know, Tim Drake's out there. And so he just sees all three of those things and thinks, I'm going to go back to Gotham and I'm going to be a better Batman than Bruce ever was. And he becomes the Red Hood. And what an amazing layered story that you could tell in there. I think it'd be an awesome, awesome movie. And I think, you know, you could spin off that character in so many different ways. Wouldn't it be awesome to see Red Hood in a Suicide Squad movie? You know, something like that.
Yeah.
But great.
Yes,
character.
It would be. I tell you this, from everything you just said and the level of, I don't want to say geekdom, but the level of care that you seem to have for that character, I'll say this. In BVS, we saw Bruce Wayne looking at a Robin suit. We obviously know Joker killed that Robin, and we know in the comics that Robin that Joker killed was Jason Todd. So all I'm saying is, you know, keep going hard at Krypton because I love what you're doing with that, but just keep an eye out for whatever Matt Reeves is doing with this Batman world and, you know, be prepared to make a call to Jeff Johns and say, I'm ready for an audition for Jason Todd.
Yeah, fingers crossed, man. You never
absolutely,
know.
Absolutely, absolutely. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, but as I said, I love Seg. I couldn't have picked a better character. He's so awesome. And as I said, Superman is my favorite character, so as much as I love the Bat family, I'm House Owl all the way.
Absolutely, and there's nothing wrong with that. And if you look at it, you do give birth to Russell Crowe and Henry Cavill. So you know it's really awesome to see Segel is the start of a long list of great not only actors but L's. So it's just really
there you
to see.
Go.
And I love the kind of feel that you kind of get from that first Man of Steel movie that you get in Krypton. I love that Man of Steel movie. I honestly think that's one of the best Superman films ever. And it's really good to see that feel from Krypton because it's like, man, this show is just so good and so grounded. And it's good to see how everything kind of started in the history of Krypton because all we've known is it gets destroyed and we end up with Superman on Earth. That's always the extent in the movie world that we've ever seen of Krypton. So it's really good to get that backstory and, you know, kind of dig deeper into those rich characters, because there are more characters than just Kal-El and Supergirl.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, the other major players in this story are House Zod. You know, what an incredible family, and we got some amazing actors playing, and Anak Bogmo, and Georgina Campbell. What incredible actors, and what an incredible dynamic they have. And interesting to see as well that the Zods are some of the most morally forthright and courageous characters in the show.
Mm-hmm. Amazing warriors. Yeah, so, and they look like they don't put up with much. They are very strict about how they go about things.
Not at all. Yeah, you would not want to cross them. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. But Cameron, thank you so much for joining us. This was an amazing talk for me to geek out with you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, man. Anytime.
Before I let you go, I just have one last question. Is there any way
of
you
course.
Could do a drop for us before you go?
Is there any way I could do a what, sorry?
Something along the lines of, I'm Cameron Cuff, I play Segel on Krypton, and you're listening to Geek Vibes Live.
Absolutely. My name is Cameron Cuff, I play Segel on the sci-fi TV show Krypton, and you're listening to Geek Vibes Live.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Geek Vibes Nation, make sure you check out Cameron on Krypton every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. on Sci-Fi. Thank you so much, Cameron.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
Take care.
See you, dude.
Man, what an amazing guest. What an amazing guest. Guys, again, please make sure you check out Cameron every Wednesday on Sci-Fi's Krypton, the new hit series Krypton, 10 p.m. every Wednesday. And stay tuned. We have so many more great interviews to come. We have Emma Dumont, who plays Polaris on The Gifted tomorrow at 4. And we have, you know what? I'm going to save who we have Sunday for after tomorrow's interview. But trust me, it's going to be a very great interview, quite like this one, tomorrow and Sunday. And we have a very special, special, special guest on Tuesday of next week. So, again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and stay tuned for tomorrow's interview.